The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Sarah.
Today we will be discussing chapter 8 of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, The Potions Master.
Ooh.
So make sure you've read the chapter and you're ready to dive into all the details. But before we begin, let's go to Megan for the weekly profit.
I just have a question. Who's the Potions Master?
I guess we'll find out now, won't we?
Just be a little patient.
So, the weekly profit. We have some super exciting news for, thankfully, our US fans and our UK fans, because there is this awesome new exhibit coming to the British Library.
Can we please all go?
Of course. I wish.
I'm busy that day.
So, there's this... There's this really awesome exhibit coming that is going to be called A Journey Through a History of Magic. And it's all about this. What is your problem?
We don't have the time. Keep going.
We're going to learn all about different artifacts that includes unseen sketches, manuscript pages from J.K. Rowling, also illustrations from Jim Kay, who is the illustrator of the illustrated Harry Potter books that are coming out yearly, which the third one comes out very soon.
Cannot and I can't wait.
October, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do have a question, and kill me if I'm wrong, but
that's a little
it went drastic. So they're coming out with Fantastic Beasts ones as well, correct?
Illustrated, yes.
Is he illustrating them or someone else?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Different illustrator. Yeah, but they're beautiful. Okay. I posted them on our Facebook page, Tiffany.
I know stuff.
It was a long time ago. It's okay. So anyway, there's this really awesome exhibit coming. I believe that it opens in the UK October 20th. But anyway, along with that, there is a book that's being released called Harry Potter, A Journey Through a History of Magic. And it's going to be kind of like a companion book to this exhibit so that people in the US, because it's being released both in the UK and the US simultaneously, so we can see what's going to come, because they also just announced that A Journey Through a History of Magic is coming to New York next October.
Let's go. I actually asked Marty, I said, can we go to New York? And he was like, sure.
Yeah.
I'm taking that as yes.
Do you need someone to watch you guys while you're there, aka me, to just make sure you guys get along safe?
Well, I mean, gotta figure where I'll be going.
That'll be our second year going. Anniversary, man.
Oh, so I'll be the fifth wheel?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
better way?
That's a hard yes.
So, yeah, this really cool exhibit's coming. It opens soon in the UK. A book is coming out, and then it's coming to the US next year. So.
Wait, book in October too, right?
Yes.
Isn't that two? But we get two books this October, if you think about it.
The Illustrated.
The Illustrated, oh, yeah. and then the magic.
I haven't pre-ordered that yet, but I pre-ordered the...
I did.
I'm not going to pre-order. I figure...
No, if you do it on Amazon, they will give it to you the cheapest price.
Yeah.
How much is it?
It's like $40 without any discount. But if you like
I pre-ordered it for like $24.
I know, that's what
Amazon.
I'm saying. If you order it now on Amazon, you get it. Like, say you do it now and it drops down to like $18. By the time you pre-ordered it to like the date it comes out, you get the lowest price.
Yep.
It's an Amazon guarantee.
It's awesome.
It's been in my cart for like ages because I'm like, I don't need to pre-order it yet.
Okay.
So that is the weekly profit.
All right. Little disclaimer. I am fighting a cold, so please excuse my nasally voice. But our recap for the last episode, we entered Hogwarts for the very first time. We learned about the four houses. We heard the Sorting Hat song.
La 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 la.
Song beautifully, by the way. We dove into Neville's character a little more. Harry's scar hurt for the first time. We had a lovely round of the Hogwarts school song sung by your four favorite nerds here at Swish and Flick. And we met Peeves and talked about the common rooms. But now we're on to Chapter 8, The Potions Master.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm.
Who could it be?
My guess I is don't know.
Me.
Personally, I think the Potions Master is Filch.
Shout out to Squibb.
He wouldn't be making any powerful potions over there. Okay, so it's Harry and company's first week of classes. Between moving staircases, Peeves, doors that aren't actually doors, they find it can be difficult to get to class on time and not get lost. We meet Filch, the caretaker, and his cat, Mrs. Norris, who both love to catch kids doing something wrong, and they both know all of the secret passages in the school in order to catch them. Harry realizes that that magic is more than just waving his wand and saying words, and his fear is that he's going to be way behind the other students, and that's unfounded because they're all in the same boat as each other. They have a lot to learn in each of their classes. Herbology with Miss... Oh, my God.
Professor.
Herbology so with Professor Sprout. History of magic with Professor Binns, the ghost. Charms with Professor Flitwick. Shout out to Ravenclaws. Whoop whoop. Oh, something just popped up on the screen. Transfiguration with Professor McGonagall. Defense against the dark arts with Professor Quirrell. And potions with Professor Snape.
Shout out to Slytherins. What?
Hey.
That
Sarah,
Friday,
you're a Slytherin.
Okay. Maybe. It depends on the day. That Friday, the first year Gryffindors and Slytherins have double potions with Snape. And that morning, Harry got a letter from Hagrid to meet him in his hut that afternoon. Harry and Ron have a horrible experience meeting Snape, where he asks Harry all types of questions and talks down to him because he didn't know the answer and calls him a celebrity. Neville makes a big mistake with his potion and is taken to the hospital wing. And Snape takes points away from both Harry and Neville and the Gryffindors. Harry and Ron try not to dwell on that on Snape and his hatred of Harry while they... Oh my God, I can't... What I wrote makes no sense.
Go.
Harry and Ron try not to dwell on Snape and his hatred of Harry while they go and visit with Hagrid. And while they're there, they read that there was a break-in at Gringotts. Harry makes a connection to the fact that the same day that the vault was broken into, he and Hagrid were there emptying a vault. When he asks Hagrid about it, he seems that he wasn't 100% truthful with them. And Harry seems to wonder, what's in Hagrid's pockets?
Is that what he's wondering?
But he is questioning.
All right. So we start the chapter with Harry being an instant celebrity. There's whispers following him everywhere he goes from the moment he leaves his dormitory. There's kids saying, did you
Harry
see
Potter.
His face? Did you see his scar? There's kids in the hallway standing on their tiptoes, doubling back just to get a look at him. And we thought it'd be really interesting to talk about the quirks of Hogwarts, because this is really the first time we get to explore the inside. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to read what it says, because I thought it was really cool. So it says there were 142 staircases at Hogwarts, wide sweeping ones, narrow rickety ones, some that led somewhere different on a Friday, some with a vanishing step halfway up that you had to remember to jump. I would fall every time. There were doors that wouldn't open unless you asked politely or tickled them in exactly the right place, and doors that weren't really doors at all, but solid walls just pretending. It was also very hard to remember where anything was because it all seemed to move around a lot. The people in the portraits kept visiting each other, and Harry was sure the coats of armor could walk. And we even learn about the ghosts, too. You know, if they glide into you, it feels like a bucket of water splashes over you. And yes, Meg.
So you're talking about, like, the quirks of Hogwarts and everything. And it makes me realize, like, when else do we really see, I mean, besides, like, the Room of Requirement in later books, I feel like she doesn't play to that enough sometimes in the book, you know?
The step plays a big part.
True.
The step.
The step where he falls into the step and can't get out.
She's probably saying this to be like, I'm going to use these quirks in later books. Like, you know, when you watch a movie or not a movie, but like a television show. And at the beginning, it's like on previous episodes, they bring up things that you saw or learned in earlier episodes because they're going to be relevant now. So she's probably going, well, I'm just going to say all this stuff. So I can bit bits and pieces and be like, well, this is a magical castle.
And we always encounter portraits.
Even with maybe, like Sir Cadogan later.
Maybe if you're, I mean, if you're thinking but about like, we don't see suits of armor moving again until seven in the battle. So I get what you're saying. Like she's adding all these things and then they're kind of thrown by the wayside a little bit to go, but she's diving more into Harry's story rather than what Hogwarts is like.
I guess it's not as important. I just want it to be important because that's like my favorite parts of the book whenever they're just like at school.
Yeah. And wearing robes and whatever the movie kills me every time where I see them not wearing robes.
But like, think of how cool it would be like if she had a book just on like the castle, like being that could, if you think about it, it's probably its own personality.
It is.
Yeah. So like have that. Write a Hogwarts book, not just Hogwarts history. Just be like, Hogwarts, I'm here. Yeah.
Pottermore just released a cool thing where you can go through Hogwarts.
True that. Oh, yeah.
I mean, but just see how this sets the tone for Hogwarts. Do you not immediately just fall in love with this place?
Yeah, I don't.
If you didn't before when, like, you have this grand reveal of them over, the, you know, in the boats and they see this castle and you picture it in your mind. Now you're seeing the inside with all these fun little quirky things and you're like, I want to forget to jump that step and fall through it. That'd be amazing,
I'd love to. I'd love to.
Not unless you're Harry in the fourth movie or fourth book with the egg and then he drops it and it screams.
Oh, yes.
And he can't get out.
Sorry.
That's I'm all right. eating M&Ms.
That's all right. Was that all they had on Hogwarts there, Katie?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's short and sweet.
No? Just like me. Except I'm not short or sweet.
Me and Tiffany are both short.
Tiffany and
quite
and I.
Sweet.
Are you guys ready for Tiffany?
We're like Sour Patch Kids. We are sweet and sour.
Yes.
Okay. So we meet Argus Filch.
Blah.
Everyone's favorite caretaker. Ugh. Already? Okay.
I just had to say.
Go ahead.
I don't like him in Harry Potter, and I really don't like him in Game of Thrones.
What do you mean you don't like him?
I don't like him.
Like, he's a great character, so you hate the character?
Yeah. I think I just don't like the actor.
He's just a jerk.
Well, let's learn a little more about him, see why he is the way he is, because you also hated Percy and then changed your mind.
I don't hate Percy.
Oh! If I could drop my mic without breaking it, I would. Pardon me.
Well, that revelation is 100% thanks to Chris Rankin.
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm just saying.
I agree.
All right, so on Pottermore, they say he's the irascible Hogwarts caretaker who is forever waging war on students. So in his profile on Pottermore, his skills are sniffing out mischief, and his hobbies are prowling the halls of Hogwarts, looking for troublemakers, battling to have Peeves permanently extracted from the castle.
Filch, get a life.
He has none.
Find a hobby.
He has none. Oh, I know.
Continue.
Okay. So Filch spends his time at Hogwarts cleaning up, hassling students, fighting with Peeves, and basically chasing the Weasley twins. And then we find out that Sarah's off the podcast.
Florence is the new Ravenclaw.
Oh my God.
Inside joke.
Anyways.
Sarah's many multiple personalities.
Hopefully she doesn't choke on that peanut M&M.
Sorry if anyone heard her chewing it a couple seconds ago.
All right. So Filch is described as being worse than Peeves. And on their first morning of classes, Ron and Harry get on his bad side when they get lost in the out of bounds corridor. And so somebody that Filch is always hanging around or sending to do his bidding is Mrs. Norris. And she is described as a scrawny, dust-colored creature with bulging, lamp-like eyes, just like Filch's. Her skills are sniffing out troublemakers.
Is this off Pottermore?
This is off Pottermore.
I love it.
And her hobbies are doing the bidding of her beloved master, Argus Filch. And then I found something on Pottermore that I thought was super interesting. Familiars. Never have I heard of that before until I was, yeah.
I haven't either.
Okay, really? So it's super short, so I'm just going to read it directly because I feel like that would be better than me trying to kind of get the gist of it. So this is J.K. Rowling's thoughts. It says, "The concept of familiars has existed in British folklore for many hundreds of years. Familiars are animals," and then in parentheses it says, "some say animal-shaped spirits, that serve a witch in various ways, whether as servants, messengers, or even spies." That sounds an awful lot like Mrs. Norris.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
"Historical accounts of witchcraft make mention of familiars, such as animals, have been credited with supernatural gifts and even believed to be demons or the devil himself in disguise."
I think many students would call her a demon.
Yes. And then in the final paragraph, there's only two paragraphs. It says, "Familiars in the strictest sense do not exist within the world of Harry Potter. Although Hogwarts students are permitted to bring animals to school with them, the cats and rats we see there are, broadly speaking, pets. Ironically, the animal that acts most like the traditional familiar and in the entire series is Mrs. Norris, who belongs to the castle's only non-magical inhabitant, Argus Filch. And it is true that owls are sent as messengers within the series, but this is in the context of a highly organized postal service, not unlike Muggle Pigeon Post." Thoughts?
This doesn't have much to do with Mrs. Norris, but it does have to do with Filch.
Okay.
Because I was telling you, I was reading about on Pottermore, about the Room of Requirement, and he is able to use it. So I thought that was interesting that even as a squib, because he, it said something about how he must have been up there looking for, he needed cleaning supplies, and he found a closet full of them.
Well, I wonder if you just have to, I mean, it's, so essentially, you don't have to use magic, though, to get within the room. It's all about your mindset.
Right.
It's so, you know, him being, I mean, yes, he's a squib, but I mean, he's a muggle. Am I wrong?
No.
Okay.
You're correct.
So, you know, I think that if a muggle could go in there and you tell them how the room works, they would also be able to access it.
True.
Do you think the reason why he's such like a meanie is because he's jealous of the children?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
I mean, and we'll, I'm going to get into that. But before I do, Megan.
Do you think that, or is it really true that muggles used pigeons for post back in the day?
Yeah.
I'm sure people probably still do.
Never heard of pigeon post?
I mean, I have, but I always just kind of thought it was like in books.
Carrier pigeons.
Oh, it's a real thing.
That's cool.
Harry Potter's in books, but he's real.
Why don't we still do that? Because then maybe we could have owls.
Then there's bird crap everywhere.
and there's a thing called email that takes 2 seconds.
But it's not as cool.
That's fair.
Put a little person on yours and there'll be a little,
you know,
dude
what?
Send Megan, your email.
You go buy you a bird.
And I'll, sanitizer smell. Sorry.
And I'll await your letter. Okay. So, and then Katie brought to my attention an interesting fan theory in regards to Filch and Mrs. Norris. So I'm going to read that. Who's this by? Their name's blurred out.
Sorry.
Isn't it just off Tumblr or something?
I don't know. Yeah. All these are blurred out, but if this is your theory, cool. Thanks for it. All right. It says, "What if Filch from Harry Potter was a young caretaker at Hogwarts when he fell in love with a young teacher? She was a witch, but Filch was only a squib and felt he wasn't good enough for a magical person. The teacher, however, was even more in love with Filch and decided that being with him was more important than being a witch. She recruited her best student to perform a spell on her to remove her magic in secret to surprise Filch. They scoured the restricted section of the library for sketchy dark spell to remove magical abilities. Finally, after they found it, the student performed a curse on the teacher, but the spell went horribly wrong. Instead of becoming a squib, the teacher, Mrs. Norris, became a cat. And since then, Filch has always had a vendetta against students for what they did to her. They guard the restricted section relentlessly so no others will make a mistake like hers, and they stick around the school in hopes that one day Dumbledore will discover the counter curse and they can go back to being lovers.
I really like that.
You like that?
Anybody blew else? My mind.
Yeah.
What do you
it
think?
It just seems very plausible.
Megan's not about
it. It's
that
okay way. If you don't like it.
No.
I think you like it.
I think that it sounds super legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder...
It wasn't going where I was expecting it to go.
No?
No, but I liked it a lot. I like it.
Well,
that's scary business.
I think it's cool. Again, I love this fandom because of all these crazy things that people come up with. And it's like, oh, that could make sense.
Yeah.
Harry Potter fans are the
best. Oh, they're the best.
They really are. Mm-hmm.
And I love how like J.K. Rowling is always like watching and like she'll even say like the one that was... It had Snape, Harry, and Dumbledore as like the three people, like the three yes,
brothers.
And she was like, she's like, that's a great theory or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Essentially being like,
yes,
it's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I love that she's always, she's always watching.
Yeah. Well, she's not watching my Twitter because she didn't answer me.
That's because we're so cool. She can't handle us. It's like looking directly into the sun.
Oh, my God.
You're right.
Another theory that she's confirmed through Twitter is that Ariana is an Obscurus.
You know what else that she's
did she
confirmed?
Confirm that?
Well,
like we all knew them.
No, well, she like indirectly.
No, but this
did
is
it, right?
She indirectly
when?
Confirmed it because
give me a
somebody.
Date.
I don't know.
I mean, it was
a while
close.
Ago.
It was close to when Fantastic Beasts first came out, so like probably last November, December.
Hmm.
But somebody tweeted her and said, "I think that Ariana is an Obscurus. Is this true?" And she liked it. Then someone responded and said, oh my God, J.K. Rowling just liked that. Does that mean it's true? And then she liked that.
We had this conversation.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we did. Sorry.
My memory is great.
Sorry for the repeat, guys.
No, I needed it because I don't remember things.
You know what other fan theory that she proved was true? That I'm the coolest Ravenclaw.
Get out. All right.
I think that she confirmed that you're a Slytherin.
It's a hard no. I know my wand is a Death Eater wand though.
I know. That's
what I'm literally
saying.
What it's classified on the internet. Like on if you go to buy them from Warner Brothers. Death Eater wand.
All right.
You evil girl.
So I have a lot. I have a lot more about Filch. So we don't find out this yet. We don't find this out until
third book.
Three?
Prisoner.
Yeah.
Three? No, I think it's Chamber.
Is it?
Oh,
it's
it
Chamber
is
because
Chamber.
Harry comes back from Quidditch practice. He's got mud all over him and Filch is real mad.
That's right.
It's like why we're doing the reread.
Is that when the because it's the vanishing cabinet is broken during that.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So squibs.
Shout out to squibs.
What?
So all the information that I gathered was from Pottermore. So they're not quite muggles, but they're not quite wizards. So you can compare them. They're like the opposite of a muggle-born. Most have a stronger affinity with the muggle world and they lead muggle lifestyles. Sorry. Some cut themselves off from the wizarding world completely and others live as allies to the wizarding world like Mrs. Fig.
Shout out to Figs.
Do you like figs?
What?
Some live somewhere in the middle, choosing to work with wizards, but they're not exactly like neighborly or friendly with them. And they face the same prejudices that muggleborns do. So every time we say squib, you guys, it's a slur.
Yeah,
that's what she says.
What do they call them?
We're mean.
Selves.
I don't.
They're probably just people.
Yeah, but like we
non-magic folk.
I understand that, but like, is calling a muggle a derogatory term?
No, that's mudblood.
No, a muggle and a mudblood are two different things.
Well,
no
muggle born and mudblood. That's the same thing. And mudblood.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bad.
I guess technically muggle could be considered a slur, but like it's just such a commonly used word in the wizarding world that they don't necessarily view it that way.
I'm sure racist people think that too in real life. But what I mean is like, what would you call a squib? Like, what do they call themselves? Like, I'm a non-magical, magical person?
But you're not magical.
Correct. They come from a magical family.
A non-magic person living within a magic family. That's a lot to say.
That's me. Yeah.
Anywho, let's move on. So the word squib is a slur, such as when it was used against Merope. Whatever.
Really? I've always said Merope.
I don't like
Merope.
Who?
Gaunt.
Merope Gaunt.
I don't like that.
And even though she was capable of doing magic, they still called her a squib.
Because they were mean.
I think they called her a filthy squib or something.
They did. Her dad was awful.
I don't want to say Merope.
Okay, well, so is her son, isn't it?
Isn't it weird? But it's Merope. At least according to Jim Dale, it's Merope.
Oh, he also said canuts.
And he also says Osseo.
Nope, sorry. Merope.
But she's Voldemort's mama, correct?
Correct.
So Voldemort's mama?
Oh, is that what you said? Mama.
She's baby mama, but not because it's...
Ooh. But yeah. All right.
Kind of is, though, because she, like, tricks Tom Riddle into loving her.
That's another podcast, you guys. But truly,
spoiler,
it's that one's gonna get deep and sweaty.
I just listened to that, so it's very fresh in my mind right now.
I'm sure it is.
I'm almost done with Half Blood Prince, guys.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who's that?
I don't know.
Well, you didn't know the other time.
It's what is her name? Oh shoot, like Emmeline Prince or whatever. Yeah. Hermione thinks that it is. How do you know it's not a girl, Harry?
Who is that Emmeline Prince person?
She, like, finds this information on this, like, girl from Hogwarts and is like, I bet you this is her. And Harry's like, no.
All right.
It's not.
Are we going back into this?
Yeah, yep. Sorry.
So, under the Minister for Magic, Eugenia Jenkins, she was minister from 1968 to 1975, squib rights marches began to surface. And I also said that, like, the 60s were a big time for protesting.
Oh, my God.
So, and pure blood riots started.
Interesting.
I'm just going to say...
Interesting.
She connects to present day unlike anything else. Yes. And that's all I'll say.
She's amazing.
And mm-hmm. This was during Voldemort's first rise to power, and she ended up being ousted from that position because they thought her too weak.
Why?
For the spot. Well, because Voldemort's rising, purebloods are like, hey, we're gonna riot, and that kind of power ousted someone who was for the rights of squibs. So she was out.
I mean, still just saying, like, to have a woman minister for magic back in the 60s, 70s, regardless of if they ousted her or not, is,
we know,
like,
the Wizarding
pretty
World's
progressive.
Like,
yeah.
They had, I think it was the last episode, they had a woman minister in, like, the
1800s. There's been a lot of women.
Yeah.
So, and then a fun fact that I found, this was hilarious, and I was laughing at my computer. I was finding this. Squibs cannot be sorted by the sorting hat. And a man named Angus Buchanan attempted to crash a sorting ceremony. Like, he flew in on a broom with someone to Hogwarts. So the sorting hat's reaction, quote, it never happened before and it has never happened since. But Angus got as far as the sorting hat before he was exposed. In sheer desperation, he threw himself ahead of a girl whose name had been called out and placed the hat upon his head. The horror of the moment when the hat announced kindly that the boy beneath it was a good-hearted chap, but no wizard, would never be forgotten by those who witnessed it. Angus took off the hat and left the hall with tears streaming down his face. And that was in a section, I know, and that was in a section called Scottish Rugby by Rowling on Pottermore.
That's so sad.
I feel so bad for Angus.
But like, this rugby guy, like... Apparently, wizards really enjoy Muggle rugby. Hmm. Huh, and it's sports. Because of this guy. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, the Angus guy?
Yeah.
Oh, he was a Scottish rugby player.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
It was super interesting. And then I also found out that a twin could be a squib. How do you say this? Isolt?
I think so, yeah.
Sayer's sister, Isolt. Martha. Was a squib, but her other sister was a witch. And Rowling said, quote, this proves being born magical is very much a lottery that we all lost.
What are you talking? I'm magical.
Or we're just not telling people.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Statue of secrecy.
You're right. You guys will never
know.
You will never know. All right. And then I also, I'm sorry. Like, there was so much on squibs.
No, this is awesome.
Yeah, I read a lot about
this. Umbridge. Is something I already knew because I read the ebooks, the small ebooks she put out. And this first one I read was about Umbridge. Umbridge's mother had a squib son.
What? So Umbridge has a squib brother?
Yes. And her mom is Muggle.
You didn't know she was a half-blood?
We talked about this last time, and then Sarah said, "Who's the half-blood prince?"
I did know that Umbridge was a half-blood, but I guess it didn't click.
All the way.
Because, like, Harry's a half-blood, but his mom was a witch, you know? So
I get what you're saying.
You know?
But he's still half-blood.
Right, I know. But that's why I was saying I didn't know that. I didn't know that Umbridge's mom was not magical.
All right, so so Squib's son, and that's one of the major reasons why her mother and brother split from the family. And then Squibs, we find out this later too. Excuse me. Squibs try and teach themselves magic with a quick spell course. And it's a set of magical lessons for teaching Squibs. And this is when Filch loses his mind when he finds out that Harry sees his letter, even though Harry tries his hardest to like hide the fact that he had read the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I took this. This is the last little bit I have about Squibs, which there's more. There's more on there. And this is a direct quote, so I'm just going to read it verbatim. But Squibs can still immerse themselves in the magical. So the life of a Squib doesn't sound all too fun, but there can still be a connection with the magical world for them if they choose. After all, Argus Filch has a lot of trouble with the poltergeist Peeves, but at least shows Squibs can interact with the likes of ghosts. If another wizard is flying a broom, a Squib can happily ride alongside them, which is exactly how Angus Buchanan got to Hogwarts. And although Harry isn't convinced Arabella Figg can see Dementors, she certainly describes their soul-sucking powers rather well and protests that she can. Whatever Squibs can or can't do or see or can't see, they have more than proved their worth in the wizarding world. Power to the Squibs. Wands up for Squibs. That was a lot of information, but I feel...
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know any of it, though.
Yeah, so if you think, like, how... You have to think, I know Filch is awful. He's a terrible guy. He sucks. But think about he's living day in and day out with all these magical people. And they're doing and learning all the things that he desperately wants to learn and do. He is so incredibly jealous and so incredibly bitter. And we see this. We see these kind of behaviors. Like he just projects on the kids.
Sounds like Petunia.
Sounds like Petunia, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
all I have to say about that. I'll even say it sounds like Snape, who has so much bitterness. Yes. He just takes out on all.
There's
the
a lot of that in this Harry. Book.
Poor
these
Harry.
Books.
I just want to know like more of his backstory. Like who his parents were, and like what his family is. I think
Did
that'd
he
be
have
interesting.
Any siblings?
Yeah.
Were they magical?
You know, I don't think that was on there.
You didn't do your research very well, Tiffany.
Is it on there?
I don't know.
Oh, you had me thinking it was. Well, I'm going to run out of
room. Can we take a break?
This episode of Swish and Flick is brought to you by LuLaRoe Kelsey Stockdale. Do you want another way to be comfortable while listening to your favorite podcast? Check out LuLaRoe Kelsey Stockdale on Facebook or at kelseysunicorns.com for a direct link to unique, comfortable, and stylish clothing for individuals of all shapes, sizes, and styles.
Okay, so next up is all of the Hogwarts classes. Sarah kind of already went over this a little bit in the summary, but I'm going to go through it one more time. So we learn all the classes that all of the Hogwarts students take. First, we start out with Herbology, which is taught by Professor Sprout.
Shout out to Hufflepuff.
Head of Hufflepuff House.
Are we doing this for everyone?
Nope. Only
the
kids, aka not Gryffindors.
History of Magic, which is taught by a ghost, Professor Binns. And in History of Magic is where they supposedly mess up the difference between Emmerich the Evil and Uruk the Oddball. It's students are described as confusing Emmerich the Evil with Uruk the Oddball, seeing as one was a notorious dark wizard while the other was an eccentric who wore a jellyfish as a hat. This could have resulted in some entertaining essays. So I thought that I would tell you guys who each of them are. A little more in depth than just one is evil.
I'm
and one
so
is
excited.
Eccentric. You should be.
What?
Emmerich the Evil was a notoriously aggressive wizard who terrorized the south of England during the early Middle Ages until he died prematurely in a duel with Egbert the Egregious.
Egbert
the Egregious.
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 Ogregius.
Might just all be incorrect.
Ogregius.
He is the first known wizard to have supposedly owned an abnormally powerful wand made of elder.
Oh.
This is likely to be the history to be history's first detailed reference to the elder wand. Yeah.
I did not read this before.
When Emmerich was killed in the duel, Egbert took possession of the wand.
What?
That's nuts.
Did anybody else know that before?
No.
Okay.
No.
So why am I the only one making stupid sounds?
I'm letting you take the stage on that one. All my reactions are the same.
Hey.
So quite the opposite of the cool story behind Emmerich, we have Uruk, the oddball, who was a medieval wizard famous for his weirdness. Uruk the Oddball's highly eccentric behavior included convincing himself he was a ghost, wearing a jellyfish for a hat, and at one point listening to Fwooper songs for 3 months straight. Does anybody know what a Fwooper is?
No.
No.
A Fwooper, and actually, I'm upset I didn't show you this, guys. This. There's a Fwooper in the Magical Menagerie at Diagon Alley, and you can silence it with the magic. Because if you listen to the song, it literally makes you go insane. Like, if you listen to it singing.
It's an animal.
Yes. It's a bird.
Oh, it's a bird.
It's a bird.
Actually, there is a Fwooper in Newt's case in the movie.
How do I spell it? I want to look at it.
F-W-O-O-P-E-R.
Fwooper.
Can I just say, I can understand why they would get confused, because if I was not reading it, I am, like, listening to it. I'm like, who? Who?
Emmerich? Which Uruk, one? What?
It's super cute.
Isn't it?
Let me Google.
It's a wee bird.
How do you spell this?
F-W-O-O-P-E-R.
Oh my god.
Uruk, the oddball, oddly enough, was sorted into Ravenclaw House at Hogwarts, and they are proud of his notoriety.
Can I just say, trying to Google Fwooper, the second thing down after spelling it correctly is Fwooper infection. They probably meant like a whooping, cough. That would be my thought.
So, whoa. The jellyfish-wearing man was sorted into...
Ravenclaw.
See the kind of trash that's in your...
Hey.
Hey, Luna.
He is...
Yeah.
He is also the subject of many wizarding joke punchlines. Oh. And despite seemingly never doing anything of particular importance, he was covered in first year's history of magic classes. His skills include the ability to talk himself into thinking or doing anything, no matter how strange or unbelievable.
That's noteworthy.
He also... He also was the Wizard of the Month in September of 2004 on J.K. Rowling's website when she used to do that, which I always thought was really fun. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I was on it.
Oh, every were month. You? Uruk means of or relating to urine.
Ravenclaw!
And could be a phonetic joke on the name Yorick from the Shakespeare play Hamlet.
That poor child.
So
he was destined for oddness his whole life.
No one knows if he meant to be the weirdest wizard of the ages or if it just came naturally.
Think about it, though, weird people do come out of Ravenclaw. Luna is kind of loony.
Katie literally said that. Like,
I know. I'm agreeing.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks for listening.
But no, were you saying, though, it's that they're like loon, like oddballs coming out of Ravenclaw is what I'm pointing at.
But truthfully, and in all seriousness, I think the silliest and strangest of people are the smartest.
They're
people.
Very, yeah.
So
really,
yeah.
Are you saying that I'm the smartest one at this table? Because we got God
well,
knows,
I truly don't think you're I'm a Ravenclaw.
That's not what you're saying. You're just saying the smartest people are weird, and I'm the weirdest one at this table. You have
you
to admit
seem
that.
To be very ambitious. And shrewd.
Shrewd.
You're gonna call me shrill, and I was gonna be like, get the hell out of my house.
What is so bad with that?
I don't want to be shrill.
I think shrewd would be worse than shrill.
You're a shrew.
I don't really know what shrewd means because it reminds me of a shrubbery.
A shrubbery. We won't.
Merely a scratch wound.
Flesh wound.
What did I say? Scratch wound?
Yeah.
Okay. Next subject is charms with Professor Flitwick.
Yeah.
Transfiguration with Professor McGonagall.
Gryffindor.
Defense Against the Dark Arts with Professor Quirrell.
Or Squirrel, as I like to call him.
Astronomy with Professor Sinistra. And Potions with Professor Snape. Yep.
Every time Snape. I read Sinistra, I read it Sinatra.
So do I. What class would you guys look forward to the most?
Ooh, are we lightning bolting this early?
I got it.
It doesn't have to necessarily be a lightning bolt, but...
Oh.
You can go.
Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Mm.
Mm. Wait, but that's...
Are we talking about this year? First year?
Just in general. Like, if you didn't know anything going into Hogwarts and you, like, knew your schedule, like, what classes you were going to be, what would you look forward to going to the most?
Charms.
I think I agree. Charms. Or potions.
I agree with that. Charms or potions.
Might it be defense or transfiguration?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly,
transfiguration is hard.
Although, I have a weird thing about space, so I could skip astronomy. Why are you looking at me like that?
What does I have a space weird thing about?
Me out. Freaks me out. Okay. I don't like to look at the awesome. Stars. No.
Space makes me think that I'm so tiny.
You are.
But
tiny.
It's so cool.
I know.
It is cool.
No, I really think I would have looked forward to potions, but then as soon as I walked into that classroom and had Snape for like 2 seconds, I would have been like, oh, okay.
They'd be like, you guys, crying home to mom, like, I don't like potions.
But seriously, think about how many people he may have turned off to that subject that could have been great potion makers.
They could have been great healers.
And that's why teachers mm-hmm. are so important.
Yeah.
Coming from a teacher's mouth. I'm just saying.
I agree. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a class that you would look forward to the least out of that list?
Astronomy.
Potions?
Yep.
Why?
There's too many slimy, gross things I wouldn't want to come up.
But you get like, you have gloves.
You aren't, to me, like a potions, and chemistry in my mind, it's one of those things where you have to like measure and like it, to me, I correlate it with like cooking and stuff where I mm-hmm. love to cook. I yes. like to be in the kitchen.
Same.
And I know that Katie is not.
When you like, compare
no,
I like that
for me.
I don't want to do it. But
yeah.
question. Am I coming as a Muggle-born, or am I part of a wizarding family?
It shouldn't matter.
I guess a Muggle-born, because that's what you would have been, right? Okay.
So probably... So my thought process here is, if I'm a Muggle-born, I'm going to want to still take history of magic, because I want to learn about it. But yeah. if I'm coming from a wizarding family, I probably already know a few things, so I'd be like, meh.
I can see that.
But I'm a history buff in real life, though, which is kind of strange. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You want to learn about Uruk the Oddball?
I will say this. The class I would least look forward to is astronomy, because I don't like looking at stars. It really freaks me out. It's like one of those weird phobias.
I think mine would have been history of magic.
Yeah, because it's probably boring. Not so much learning about it, but the way that he would be teaching it.
Oh, yeah, he sucks.
Just reading out of a book.
Yeah, and yeah. like yeah. you're died not. And came back as a ghost to teach it. Like there's a yeah. ghost literally teaching this.
You're not learning anything mm-hmm. from that.
Mm-mm.
The only person learning is Hermione, and she's teaching herself.
Hermione.
Yeah. That's all I have for this all episode. Right.
Can I just say, anytime that Harry or Ron complains about their magical homework, I just want to smack them, because I would love to do magical homework.
Especially Harry. Like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Well, neither one of them are dumb. They just lack the motivation.
They How? Have zero Lazy. Motivation.
Would Harry rather be sitting with the Dursleys?
Yeah.
No? Then do your charms
Actually,
homework.
Actually, I think what happens is early on... Well, we don't talk about this yet. Anyway... I mean, this is all reread, but I think he's so obsessed with like doing other magical things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know?
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Always
so,
getting into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of their last week of classes on that Friday morning, every morning, Harry talks about how his owl, I almost said bird, Hedwig comes to visit him. He goes, he never expects any mail, because really, who's going to send him mail? But he gets a letter. And it's from Hagrid, basically saying he knows he has the afternoon off and he wants him to come for tea at 3 down to his hut. And so Harry writes back. He's like, yeah, me and Ron will be there. Meet you at 3, bro.
So that's literally what it says yeah. in the book.
So my question is, how does Hagrid know that he has the afternoon off?
Like, he probably checked his schedule.
Yeah, but like, is that common knowledge?
They have physical schedules.
I understand that. But like, how does Hagrid see his schedule? Do they have like a copy of all of the students' schedules somewhere?
Probably there's a staff room.
For first years, I think every first year probably has the same schedule.
And I was wondering, do all first years have it offered at Hagrid? Just look into it.
Yeah, I think you have to take the base classes, and then once you get into third year you get to start choosing.
Just was curious.
He's also been there for like how many years, so he knows pretty much like the rundown of everyone's schedule, I'm sure.
Yeah, but Harry's not been there for many years. True.
You don't think that
I'm just curious.
The class schedule changes year to year. I just think that I'm sure that Hagrid just looked at the first years or whatever and saw. Because as Harry says, it's like the first year Gryffindors always have this class at this time with like double potions with the Slytherins or whatever.
Yeah. I don't think Hogwarts is changing stuff around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just the staircases.
Oh, that was good.
And I'm like, I said, it probably made Harry's day. First of all, it's probably the first, not the first letter because he got his Hogwarts letter, but you know, one of his first letters
from
to get.
Hedwig, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, to get it from Hagrid, we said in a previous episode that really that was his first friend that he ever really made, especially in the wizarding world. So it gave him something to look forward to and provided some calm in a week that was so new and hectic. So I was like wondering how he felt getting the letter.
Stoked.
So stoked.
It's another example of Hagrid being a father figure to Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And showing he actually cares.
Yeah.
Hagrid is so awesome.
You know,
doing this reread, like I just see again and again that father kind of figure.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I didn't notice. I don't think that I really saw that until we started doing the reread. Mm-hmm. I don't really know why I didn't see that, because now looking back, it seems so obvious. But I didn't think of him as a father figure. I always just thought of him as a very good friend. But now that we're pointing these things out more and more, I'm like, no, that is definitely father figure-ish. Like I always kind of pictured Sirius and Mr. Weasley. And even sometimes Dumbledore more so as a father figure to Harry over Hagrid. But yeah, now I definitely see Hagrid as a pretty big father figure.
Yeah. And I feel like she writes like Dumbledore and Sirius as like the obvious thing that people would think. But like, you're right. And going back in this reread, you know, you're seeing all these things that clearly, I mean, got looked over. I mean, I looked over that stuff, what, 7 times straight through and then countless times for individual book rereads. And you just, I don't know.
Magic number 7.
Oh, you're right.
Very nice.
Oh.
I did it right this time.
The one time. I was like, why are you reading that? But yeah, I mean, he's just, he loves Harry.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so now we're going to move on to the potions master. We finally figure out who it is.
Who is it, Sarah? Who is it?
Mr. Severus Snape.
Snape.
I had no idea.
So a few little stats about Severus, who I don't like his first or last name. His birthday is January 9th, 1960. He's a Slytherin in that he is the head of that house. His Patronus is a doe, just like Lily Evans / Potter. He is a half-blood, and you find out later he is the half-blood prince. He's extremely skilled at potions and occlumency. Is that how you pronounce it?
Occlumency.
Oh, occlumency. And then he died May 2nd, 1998. He seems to hate everybody who is not a Slytherin, especially Harry. He calls Neville an idiot after he has a potions accident and criticizes everyone but Malfoy during the first double potions lesson. And then we find out that he hates Harry, or really resents him because of who his father is. And you can see him, he first calls Harry a celebrity and then starts asking him, because he's like, oh, you're a celebrity. You must know all of this. And he says to Harry, he goes, what would you get if you added powdered root of asphodel, is that how you say that?
Asphodel
to an infusion of wormwood. And there was someone that tweeted us, and let me pull it up because I have the tweet.
Oops.
Something I can't pronounce.
Huh?
The person that tweeted us, yeah. And it's like J.K. Rowling's hidden Easter egg, Harry Potter facts. And it says, the first thing Snape asks Harry is, Potter, what would I get if I added the powdered root of asphodel to an infusion of wormwood?
Krupali Ray?
Sure.
Shout at out. Krupali Ray. Thank you sending this to us. You are from Botswana. Whoa.
Ooh, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome.
Very cool.
And so it basically says, like, the meanings of those words and, like, everything that combined essentially means, like, I bitterly regret Lily's death. And so he was like, oh, is this true? And we didn't know. And so I happened to be looking on Pottermore. And it says, the answer can be found in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince when Professor Slughorn asks the class to brew the draught of the living death. Interestingly, this is just after Harry found Snape's potions book, the advanced potion making, and followed his instructions to prepare the perfect draught. And it says asphodel. Is that how you say that?
Asphodel.
Asphodel is a type of lily, and it means remembered beyond the tomb, or my regrets follow you to the grave, while wormwood is often associated with regret or bitterness. So yes, that is true, that he's essentially saying he regrets Lily's death, which again, you find out later in the last book, kind of like his whole story with her and how he deeply regrets everything that happened.
Mm-hmm. I just find it hard to believe that his Patronus was always a doe.
I agree with that.
Why?
Yeah, I don't think it always was. I think it probably changed after. Mm-hmm. I feel like it changed
when she died.
She died.
Yeah, I agree. So what was it before? Lightning bolt.
Rat.
A rat?
I don't know.
Okay.
What would it be?
Probably a snake.
What's something like a weasel? He seems weaselly.
Yeah, a weasel.
He's like not something so much oily weaselly to me.
Maybe an eel.
I think it's a vole.
Hey, voles are cool.
Are they?
No.
I feel like it was a snake because he's like always
snaky,
going behind someone's back and.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He's a spy.
Yeah.
He's a spy.
He just seems like a snake.
He's slippery.
He was always
slippery.
At one time, a spy for both sides, right?
Correct.
So it's like...
Is there an animal that's two-faced?
Two-faced.
A double-headed snake.
That exists. Ooh.
That's terrifying.
Freaky.
What if it was exactly that?
Dear Joe.
Dear Joe.
Dear Joe.
And okay. And so Snape also asks Harry what the difference is between Monkswood, is that how you pronounce it?
Monkshood
and Wolfsbane. And it's perhaps a more poignant sentence when it's looked through a language of flowers. This is all on Pottermore. And we can put a link up to this article, and it talks about, it's a language of flowers, mm-hmm. I believe is what the article is called. It said monkshood is associated with chivalry, while wolfsbane can be mean misanthropy. Is how you say that? Oh, no one else is looking because I have it up on my computer.
Yeah, we can't see what you say.
I think you said it right.
Misanthropy? I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, which I probably am. or a dislike of others. Here it could be said that Snape is comparing the heroic actions of Lily Potter with Snape's own distrustful nature, or even perhaps between Harry and the boy who lived and himself, which I actually thought was like interesting to think about, how he's comparing, you know, his dislike of Harry and himself and all mm-hmm. that other stuff. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. J.K. Rowling is just ridiculous. Steve, oh my
Snape
God. It's crazy.
Just a jerk.
Yeah. And I think that we will devote an entire episode to Snape.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's so much to be said about him.
He'll
because as
get
much
a
as
yeah.
Yes.
Agreed.
Like as much as he is
he's just Snape. So many sides.
Yeah. And like, you know, I don't like him. I don't mm-hmm. like when people are like, "Oh my God, he's so great and he was so good."
Really not that
he
great.
Did it's one of those things. It's like, yes, the end was well, but like do the means like justify the end?
Your middle counts too.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's, we will talk. We will have, we'll Felix Files. That's what I think we should do.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why I think he'll get many episodes is because
there's so much.
Clearly
to say.
We're talking in the sense that we've already read all of the books and we're trying to make mm-hmm. connections. But at the same time, I think that as we're going through the read through, we're going to more so focus on certain parts when we get to it.
Yeah.
And try and save some stuff for later. Mm-hmm. So like gradually throughout the series, we just get pieces and pieces and pieces of Snape. And while I would love to just do like one massive episode and just talk about it all, which maybe we'll do at the end.
Yeah.
I think that we should keep it gradual just as his character is revealed to us, because there is a lot of information on him. And as much as I know that it's not an unpopular opinion in this group of four ladies, but it's an unpopular opinion in the Harry Potter fandom to not like Snape and not like that story and not like his whole arc. But I'm really not a fan.
We'll set you all right.
Well, and I even think within this table, though, we have different levels of
correct
of disdain towards him. So, I mean, like, I'm not going to, I can't.
Well, and
it'll be hours.
In this chapter, all you really see is this guy that's coming in as a teacher and he's teaching all these first year students and he's
children.
Just mean.
Children.
It's a room full of 11 year olds.
Yeah.
And he's just mean and he's being mean to Harry who doesn't know anything.
He's being
and
a bully.
He's just, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's the word.
He's already having favoritism towards specifically Malfoy and the Slytherins.
And why?
Yeah. Yes. And he's saying horrible things to Neville and like just that's not the kind of, especially in a potions place where clearly anything could go wrong, where you are going to be so mean and start yelling at people. Like I know when I get yelled at, I start
you
freaking out.
I'm going to
yes. Yeah. So like Neville is already kind of like a flustered person anyway. So now you're yelling at him and calling him an idiot and now he has boils all over himself.
I just got really mad because I just connected something in my head.
Go on.
He knows Neville's parents and he knows that Neville's parents were tortured into insanity by Bellatrix and he knows how Neville grew up and he's still a complete beep to him.
But literally though, like that's him. So all you know right now is a giant
beep.
Hey. He's just horrible.
Yeah.
So I just got so mad. Right now, I just got really right mad.
He's just a jerk. He's just a jerk.
I can't wait to record that
and
episode.
You wonder why like Dumbledore wants him as a teacher.
And like I still,
well, we know why he's a teacher.
I mean, yeah, we know, but we don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
I still don't really fully grasp and understand how or why Dumbledore puts so much faith in him. I mean, clearly he's trustworthy because through the end of the film, you know, like we all know how it ends, but in that same regard, look at his past and like, can you really, I don't know.
That's why I think
we need to talk about it in another episode.
Yeah.
Because
we really do.
Again, we'll be here till 5 o'clock in the morning. Still talking
can
about
it. Can we just
Snape.
Say what time it is right now?
10 o'clock.
It is 10 p.m.
O'clock.
Oy vey. But yeah. Okay. Let's go on.
I mean, I think it was okay to give him the amount of time we did because
this chapter is called
The Potions Master.
Right.
It is essentially his chapter.
God, again,
our tangents have points.
We could talk about him forever. Yeah.
Forever.
Forever. Name that movie.
Meg.
What?
You are eliminated from this table.
Sandlot?
Yes.
High five.
I hope
she
that
just watched it for the first time like last year.
Yeah, we have to move on now.
So let's talk about Hagrid, my favorite character.
Samoa.
Where does he live?
In a hut down by the river.
Tiffany, it's a lake.
I was going for some SNL.
All right, so Harry and Ron visit Hagrid for the first time. He gets a little letter from Hagrid, and they go down to his small wooden house on the edge of the Forbidden Forest. It only has one room, and there's hams and pheasants hanging from the ceiling.
I love a nice ham.
Oh, yeah.
He has a kettle boiling over the open fire, and there's a big, massive bed in the corner with a patchwork quilt, which I just think is cute.
That is cute. He probably made that.
I was wondering. I almost was going to ask, and I guess I will now.
I wonder if he made it. I wonder if his dad made it.
Yeah, or did somebody give it to him? You know?
I know.
Anyway. Tier. So we meet Fang, who is Hagrid's boarhound. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh.
Aww.
Our candle burnt out. And much like Hagrid, Fang looks much more ferocious than he actually is.
Like Fozzie Bear.
Shout out to Fozzie. So Hagrid, oh, what?
I never made that connection before.
What?
With like Hagrid looking, like he looks scary and so does Fang, but he's a bloody coward.
Bloody coward.
So Hagrid throughout the series has questionable baking abilities. And we encounter it for the first time, this time with rock cakes. And I kind of wanted to know what they were. So I looked it up. Oh, yes, Sarah.
I was just going to say, I too have questionable baking skills.
Same here.
No, you're good.
So Harry describes them as shapeless lumps with raisins that almost break their teeth.
Oh, God.
So a rock cake, also a rock bun, is a small fruit cake with a rough surface resembling a rock. It's a traditional tea time treat. And I think they kind of look like a small scone.
I was going to say scone. They must be like a scone.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. They would be fruit cake.
I tried to make a scone once. It didn't work out well.
Oh, do like other it, like, wait so other countries hate fruitcake too?
Actually, you know, there's a song,
but truthfully there's a, is there a Christmas song?
I don't know if it's a Christmas song, but it's an Irish song about like fruitcakes. It's so funny. I heard it once on like NPR or something. My dad was listening to it. I'm like, that's the funniest thing.
So we got Ireland, we've got America.
Insert random fruitcake song here.
England.
Yeah, let us know. We'll put a little feed on Facebook. Let us know.
Do you like rock cakes?
Do you eat fruitcake? Do you know what fruitcake is?
Do you use it as a doorstop year round?
I've never eaten.
Do you re-gift it every year?
I've had a piece and it's straight up awful.
That's all I've heard.
Did anybody have the fruitcake frappuccino this past Christmas at Starbucks?
Oh, God, I tried yours.
Not a fan.
I
really tried. And the only reason why I got it was because I wanted the cute little sweater cozy for my frappuccinos in the winter.
It's called a koozie.
Also,
I don't know the last time I had a frappuccino, so.
Oh, my God, me neither.
It's too cold. I like iced coffee, so if I'm going to do like a treat myself coffee, I'm getting iced caramel macchiato.
This is completely off topic.
This is about
hey, you could have rock cakes with your iced macchiato. Yeah.
Maybe we could try and create a rock cake frappuccino.
Let's just try to make rock cakes, but actually good ones.
I
know.
I found a recipe, and I thought about it way too late last night.
We'll vlog it.
Yes, we'll make vlog it. And we'll tell you if it breaks our teeth.
And then you can pay for our bills.
Yep. Yes. With our Patreon account.
Because it's all
bills.
Okay, anyway, so Harry and Ron tell Hagrid all about their first week. They also love hearing Hagrid call Filch that old git.
Yes.
As if they need any more reason to love Hagrid more. And Harry tells Hagrid all about Snape's lesson. And Hagrid just says, oh, don't worry about it. But Harry says, but he really seemed to hate me. And Hagrid says, well, rubbish. Why should he? And then, quote, yet Harry couldn't help thinking that Hagrid didn't quite meet his eyes when he said that. So that got me thinking, what does Hagrid know? Does he know about the almost romance between Lily and Snape and their fallout? Or is he maybe just referencing the rivalry between Snape and James? Because that he would for sure, you can't not see that.
Did you just say the almost romance between Lily and Snape?
Yes.
No, J.K. Rowling even said that she goes... Had Snape not said and done the things he did, she's like, that could have been a potential actual romance between them, like loving romance.
Why are you questioning me?
Why you both have shot? She said it. It's canon. Just like Lily and James were in love and got married.
Think about it. If Snape had not called Lily a mudblood straight up in front of everybody, I think something could have happened between them. Because at that time, James was still a big-headed jerk, and Lily had zero interest in him.
The vibe.
If Snape got his crap together, did not turn to the dark arts, I really think something could have happened.
She literally said it. Rowling said it.
I get that she said it.
That candle is making me so nervous.
Why? Because it's by me.
Flailing her arms.
Yes.
And there's an open flame. The vibe I got from them, though, was that she was not feeling it.
I know, same.
Plus, he's gross.
I agree with you.
Looks aren't everything, Tiffany. It's about the person on the inside.
Yeah, well, he's throwing out slurs.
Plus, he's gross.
Did I say it like that? Yes. Nice.
You do know your husband's pretty gross.
Oh, he's the cutest. No one says anything.
But anyway. So Hagrid changes the subject, and We hear mention of Ron's older brother, Charlie, a.k.a. Ed Sheeran, and we learn that he's great with animals. So that kind of leads later into the whole Norbert dragon thing.
Yeah. Yes, yep. It does.
It does.
Who's and Norbert? Marta. We don't know who that is yet.
We'll find out.
I don't know. The name just came to me, Sarah. I don't know.
All right, and while we are at Hagrid's hut, we also discover that there was a break-in at Gringotts.
Did you guys know we all broke out of Gringotts?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Down in Orlando.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Which,
I mean, London.
That ride was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you didn't throw up on it.
And I didn't throw up. Forbidden Journey, however.
Wow.
All right. So at the end of the chapter, Harry discovers that there was a break-in at Gringotts on the day that he and Hagrid were in Diagon Alley, and they were also at Gringotts. What? So I just kind of wanted to read the chapter.
You're going to read the whole chapter?
The article from the chapter. I know you want an audiobook from me because my voice is amazing. Anyway, so... the heading in the article is Gringotts break-in latest. Investigations continue into the break-in at Gringotts on the 31st of July, widely believed to be the work of dark wizards or witches unknown. Gringotts goblins today insisted that nothing had been taken. The vault that was searched had, in fact, been emptied the same day. Quote, but we're not telling you what was in there, so keep your nose out of it if you know what's good for you, said a Gringotts spokesgoblin this afternoon.
Sassy goblins.
So sassy. And their emotions are not that of Chuck E. Cheese animatronics. If you don't know what I'm talking about, consult a previous Felix file.
Best line from the entire
episode. Oh my God. So funny. So Hagrid.
Did you guys know?
Oh, go. Yep.
Did you guys know that Chuck E. Cheese is getting rid of those animatronics?
Why? They're great.
Because they're gonna put goblin ones in there instead.
What are they putting in?
Nothing. They're getting rid of the band. Sad day. Just what? Saying.
Wow.
Sidetrack.
Pour one out for Chuck E. Cheese.
No, I think it's for the better.
Oh.
So Hagrid wasn't looking at Harry pointedly. And so Harry got the feeling that Hagrid knew more about the break-in and the package. And then he knew more about Snape than he would let Harry know. So there's a lot of secrecy going on with Hagrid. And we find out later on that Hagrid doesn't really keep that secrecy very
well. That doesn't last long.
Yeah. So when Harry and Hagrid met Professor Quirrell at the Leaky Cauldron, he was biding his time before he was attempting to steal the Sorcerer's Stone. And so that's, and this whole break-in is more foreshadowing into the future when Harry, Ron, and Hermione also break into Gringotts to secure the Horcrux. So my question is...
Meg's being weird and Tiffany's just trying to do her job over here.
I can't.
I'm just dancing.
So if Hogwarts is supposed to be the safest place, why would they even bother putting the Sorcerer's Stone at Gringotts and not Hogwarts?
Because Gringotts is the next safest place.
That's all, folks. Really, I'm Porky Pig. Was there... just there, and then Dumbledore was like, I feel Voldemort rising. Take it back. why?
I've got a hunch.
Good timing.
But truthfully.
I think it was just good timing and luck.
Dumbledore knew something.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think
he
had some sort of tip-off or something?
Snape. He knows people. Snape. He sees people. Snape. Because Snape was
Severus.
Dumbledore.
Sorry.
No, but truthfully, so Snape was trying to prevent the stone. A lot of marital things happening here.
I just made a silly face at my wife.
Okay. I just feel like somebody knew that Quirrell was up to something.
That makes the most
from
sense.
The jump.
Well, Snape does.
And so Dumbledore must have known.
You're up to something.
You would need to pause for 4 full seconds.
You don't want people thinking you're up to something.
I was going to count your 4 seconds, but you continue.
Sorry.
So, any thoughts? Or do you think the same as me?
I think that Snape probably tipped him off.
Mm-hmm.
But actually...
But why?
I don't know. know. Did he? Because at that moment in time, did Snape even know that Voldemort was back in a sense, right? Like, nobody really knew until... I don't know. Like, when did they know? Because technically he wasn't back in Chamber because that was just his memory.
No. They knew he was back at the end of Stone because he was there in Quirrell.
But before that, did Snape know is what I'm saying. Like, did Snape even
know? Oh, about Voldemort or about Voldemort. Quirrell being shiesty?
Could you feel it in his little markety mark?
Well, I don't think so because they didn't even talk about the
marks. He didn't have a mark to, like, touch.
Well, right.
No, the marks, maybe I don't. How much
they disappeared when he died? Well, died. Quotation.
Who said
died.
That?
Yeah, where's that?
Because if you go back to Goblet of Fire, mm-hmm. or rather, jump ahead to Goblet of Fire right now, they say in there, Snape and Karkaroff say it's been getting clearer every day.
But I don't know if they... Do you think it completely disappeared? I think it probably would have scarred something that dark.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was probably faded. But that's why I don't think that necessarily that played a role in them knowing. Because if that's true, then he would have had more loyal followers earlier than Goblet of Fire.
Let's go to Katie, and then I've got a theory right after you.
Was Quirrell at this time... possessed by Voldemort?
No.
Okay.
Because when they're in the leaky cauldron, Harry doesn't feel anything.
Yeah, but is that a fact, though? He doesn't feel anything.
He can touch him. He can shake his hand.
I know.
It's a fact that he is not possessed when they're in the leaky cauldron. Okay. He gets possessed after he fails to capture the stone, and Voldemort doesn't trust him anymore.
That's canon. Mm-hmm.
Now, where did you find that at?
Pottermore. I was going to say that maybe Dumbledore would have, like, sort of felt the Horcrux, as he said that dark magic leaves traces, but
true. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Never mind.
Well, he still maybe could have felt him once he was possessed.
Well,
maybe,
yeah, but for a tip off for Gringotts.
Maybe Quirrell got, like, shiesty, and they're like, he's acting different than, like, this.
My theory touches on that, actually, yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe just because he's Dumbledore's good at
reading
people. Because
he taught Muggle studies before this year.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe they're like, oh, he's acting strange. Getting Voldemort inside of him.
You and I are one right now because what I'm thinking is he did all the studying abroad in Albania and all that, came back. I think he was a completely different dude. Mm-hmm. And I think Dumbledore, being the person that he is, I think he knows. And is he good at legitimates?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
I'm just saying, guys.
Him and Snape both.
Dumbledore is, I mean... I would say all knowing, but he's insanely smart, and he's obviously talented in the magical sense. And I think he just knew. And then I think he put Snape on the mission to tail him, to figure it out, to try and be that, hey, I was a Death Eater. Let's talk about this kind of that in that spiral. So I think what you're saying, what I'm saying, same thing.
Yeah.
I also think Quirrell is very weak minded, so it probably wouldn't even be hard at all for Dumbledore to question something.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. 100%.
Let's ask some hard hitting questions. Anybody got any?
Let's go to lightning bolt round.
I have one. What scar would you like to have?
Didn't we already do this?
I think we did.
If you could pick a different character from the books that we've met so far, it could be any single one, but you've had to have met them in the first 8 chapters, who would you prefer to teach you potions besides Snape?
I think McGonagall. She just seems very level-headed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She seems like the best teacher that they have there.
Yeah, I agree. She seems like strict enough to like help me stay in line. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But not scary like Snape.
Right.
I actually, if I could have Flitwick teach me everything, I would. Because I feel like
he's so cute.
When you're a teacher, you have to be caring.
McGonagall's caring.
But she's hard. Like, her exterior is hard. And I feel like a lot of students get super intimidated by that. Mm-hmm. And it can turn a lot of people off. But I feel like Flitwick, as an educator... he's kind and he's caring, and I feel like he would really, like, if you were to struggle, I feel like he would really, like, take you under his wing and, like, really help you out. So
I agree with that.
I'm gonna go Flitwick.
Good theory.
I like both. Who? Let me think of who else we've met so far. I think Filch could probably teach me a thing or two.
Could he?
Yeah.
I'm like quick spell kit.
Yeah. I like McGonagall. I'd say her.
But speaking of Filch potentially teaching potions, do you think that you necessarily have to be magical to create potions?
Probably not.
I bet Squibs could.
Yeah.
But isn't there sort of wand work with it?
Not necessarily. Is there?
Is there? No. Because I know he calls wand work foolish and blah, blah, blah.
There'll be no foolish wand waving or incantations in this club.
Like that?
You sounded so much like the Snape from the Harry Potter musical. Yeah.
I can picture it.
Yeah. Him like coming in with his robe and he's like got his nose up.
Oh my God. You did that in Orlando too with your towel.
It wasn't my towel. No, it was the bed thing.
Oh, you took the blanket off the bed.
Yeah. We knew foolish one waving or incantations in this club.
Oh, that's when I spit my water because I was laughing so hard. Yeah. Good what time. Was the question?
No, we already answered it. It was the, oh. Who would you like to teach you?
Oh, okay. I have one. And while it's fresh in my head, do you think Mrs. Fig can see Dementors?
Yes.
See them?
See them.
I'll say yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll just say yes. Probably.
Tiffany's going to say no. I'm going to say no. Look on her face.
She's a squib.
She's a squib.
But squibs can do other magical things. They can be involved with magical things.
I think she can feel them. And I think she knows what they do, but I don't think she knows what they look like.
But maybe seeing a Dementor is sort of like seeing a Thestral.
Dementor.
You see a Thestral, you'll have to see and understand death. And to see a Dementor, you have to see and understand magic, where, yes, she understands it. She's been around it. She can't perform it. She can't do it. But she gets it. She's been around it her whole life-ish. So maybe.
Sarah. You're so smart.
I know.
What are some other questions we could ask?
Shoot some questions out, guys.
What did we learn? What did we learn? What would you do if you were in that potions class and some of that potion that Neville spilled everywhere got on you? Would you hit him?
Would you hit him?
Would you cry?
I would have yelled at Snape.
I would have been real mad.
Yeah, who would you have been mad at? Neville or Snape?
Both, probably.
Would you have said that your father was going to hear about this?
Yeah. I would have.
I have a lightning bolt round question in regards to Neville. How many times do you think he visited the
hospital wing?
Yes.
Well, twice in these two chapters.
I know, right? No one is thinking of all the times that he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Probably as much as Harry, but for totally different
reasons.
You're
right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Oh, man.
Do you guys have any questions?
Oh, I have a question for the cat people. How do you feel about Mrs. Norris?
She gives.
Would you want to give her a kick?
She gives cats such a bad name.
I couldn't kick a cat. However,
I could lock her in a closet.
Lock her in a closet?
Oops.
Oh my Oops. Gosh. Sorry.
I got a question for everybody. Instead of rock cakes, ooh, what would you want to have with tea with Hagrid?
Is Hagrid preparing it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh. God.
Well, it's something really easy to make.
Sandwich.
Some crackers.
Some cheese and crackers.
Toast. From a package.
I would really like to have a cup of tea with him because his tea mugs are like enormous.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really funny.
Yeah. Never ending tea.
Yes.
I don't know. What goes well with tea that Hagrid can't mess up?
Trumpets.
Biscuits that have already been pre-made that he buys from Hogsmeade. Yes.
Be like, go and tell the house elves, be like, can you make me a sandwich? Peanut butter and jelly.
They don't really have peanut butter.
Who?
What?
It's not as common over there as it is here.
Oh, I didn't really know if you meant like over there or like wizards in general.
I don't know. That's wizards so might not like peanut butter.
Weird.
Jelly.
They have a lot of Nutella.
Nutella and jelly.
It's so common here, so that's a very weird thing to not be common. Mm-hmm.
I've never had Nutella.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, it's good.
It's good.
I'm like in the...
If you don't like hazelnut, you won't like it, though.
I love hazelnut.
Oh, what? You would like it.
It's going to change your life.
You need to make a piece of toast, have some... Nutella. The old world will change.
I'll do it for you guys.
Do we want to go to our fan story for the
Let's
week?
Let's go to our fan story.
Sure. So this week we have Sarah Brookhart. She said, I will start by saying that my first recollection of reading Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone was in second grade. Shout out to the year 2000. I chose to read it for a book report, and I remember painstakingly making a diorama of the flying key scene.
Whoa!
That's
Do you have pictures? Oh, yeah. Send us pictures.
I loved making dioramas for books in grade school. That was like my jam.
I don't think I ever did.
I went all out all the time.
I didn't even read books in grade school, so. Or high school.
Mean? Oh my God, I loved it. You made the little scenes in the shoeboxes?
I know what that means. She said she didn't read books.
I really didn't, though. First of all, I struggled learning how to read, and then I didn't like when people told me to read books. I read them on my own. Aka Harry Potter.
Let's go back
to Sarah.
I am Sarah.
The other Sarah. She said, I created each character and individually hung construction paper keys with fishing wire from the ceiling of the shoebox. I feel like at that time... The time and attention 8-year-old Sarah to make and create that diorama is an accurate representation of the way Harry Potter continued to be ingrained in my identity. My sister, cousin, and I spent our days playing Harry Potter. My older boy cousin played every teacher, and we hopped from room to room in his house going to class and casting spells.
That sounds like my life. That's so cute.
I do that today.
I was the child of Draco and Hermione, and my sister was the daughter of Harry and Fleur Delacour. Such funny pairs now looking back as an adult.
It's so cute.
Yeah, it's awesome. So
cute. And also, just like for a visual, Sarah has like bright blonde Draco hair, so it's so perfect.
I grew up as the books became more developed and increased the weight of its language and content. I used to reread the series every summer until working full-time became important, and I hope I revisit them again soon. Maybe I'll read one chapter at a time with all of you. So thank you very much, Sarah, and I want to give a shout-out to her... her company is called Plain Crazy Button Club. Mm-mm. Meg, would you like to elaborate on that?
Yeah, Katie asked me to explain it so that she doesn't mess it up for Sarah.
I didn't want
to
mess it up.
So if there's any Disney fans out there in our listening audience, Plain Crazy Button Club is awesome. Sarah does all of the designs herself. You get like it's like a subscription pack, basically. So you go and you sign up for like either a single pack or 6 month, 9 month, 12 month. And you get 3 buttons that are designed like as a set, and then a mystery button and a sticker that correlates with the set. And it's like super cheap. I do the 12-month subscription, and like with shipping, it's $11 every month.
It's so
cool. And they're
cool.
Really cute. Like, she's such a good designer. And yeah, just go to plaincrazybuttonclub.com. It's really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Sounds really cool.
Thank you, Sarah, for your story.
Mm-hmm.
Go buy some buttons, guys.
Buttons. I've bought so many buttons from her.
Where do you put these buttons?
I actually just have like a little jar of them, and then I swap them out when I want to wear some. I'll just like put a little collection of them together, like on the little corner of like my jacket or my dress, whatever I'm wearing.
You should still do like a display board.
I should. Mm-hmm. I do still collect pins.
That's cute. Yeah.
I have way too many. I have a Harry Potter collection actually now since Universal makes Harry Potter pins.
It's a big thing. Yeah. As you would know.
I would.
All right.
Okay, so make sure that you use our pinned post on Facebook to use for a discussion on this episode. I will post it on Sunday morning when the episode goes up. So post your questions, comments, concerns, etc., and anyone can respond and answer to everybody's questions or comments, and then the four of us will also respond to you. So go find us on Facebook. We're most active there, and like our page to get all the latest info. We're Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook or Swish Flick Cast on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. We are also, when this episode goes live, we will have our Patreon set up. So if anybody is interested in going to Patreon, looking at the different levels that we have available, we've got some really cool things that we'll give you if you support us monthly with like a subscription. So there's different levels and then different things that you'll get based on how much you pay into it and whatnot. And once we reach certain goals, we'll release new content and new stuff that we'll be doing and cool new little side projects and all of that fun stuff. So go check it out to learn more about it. On Patreon, P Patreon, just so that everybody knows how to spell it. And then if anyone wants any Swish and Flick swag, we have a store on TeePublic as well. So check out our store at TeePublic, TeePublic.com/SwishFlickCast.
And that's where you can buy the shirts that you saw us wearing and all of our pictures from Universal.
Yeah.
So if you want to match us, go buy some. Yeah. T-shirt.
They have so many cool things on there. Like, it's really nice about TeePublic is we uploaded our design and then we chose what we wanted the design to be available on. So you can get a mug, you can get a notebook, you can get a phone case.
I have the really cool phone case.
Hoodie, tank top.
I'm so excited to get my crew neck sweatshirt.
Mine's shipped. Yeah.
Can't wait.
I'll post that. And if you guys don't know what Patreon is, it's a way for you to support our podcast monthly and for you to really become a part of our podcast, you know, based on the levels that you'll be able to choose from. And it's just a way for you to help us keep bringing you awesome content and exclusive little tidbits. So,
and to be able to expand to do more things because
and do more things
because I mean,
sometimes go places is what
correct.
And, sometimes people don't really realize and understand how much time and work goes into these. And it really is. I mean, it's fun and it's a blast and that's why we do it. But it really is a huge chunk of our time. Mm-hmm. And this will just help us be able to dedicate more time to it. So
I agree. It's great. And we'll post more about that. We'll post more about what Patreon is and what it does and then the levels you can choose from. So. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
Oh my god. I got so confused. I thought you read my name. In my head, I heard
your name is Katie.
That was so weird. I got so confused. Can we start over?
Yeah, of course. All right.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.